Tonight's message is Only One Thanked Jesus. We're in the Thanksgiving month. In about 2 weeks, November 25th, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving Day. And the people of this nation have different ideas about what Thanksgiving Day is all about. Some think it's a time of relaxing, hanging out with family and friends. Some people think it's a time of sitting back and watching the football game. Other people term it Turkey Day. But we, as believers in Jesus Christ, know that Thanksgiving Day is a day for expressing gratitude, giving thanks to others, and most importantly, to God. So, studies have shown that practicing gratitude is healthy. It can lower blood pressure, help in quitting smoking, it can help in losing weight. Those who maintain a thankful attitude have lower risks of disorders such as depression, phobias, bulimia, and alcoholism. I was summarizing from an article written by Kim Painter in USA Today in 2008. So having an attitude of gratitude on a consistent basis, not just on Thanksgiving Day, is very healthy for you. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So on this Thanksgiving month, 2021, I encourage you to think of a human being who has had a positive impact on your life. Maybe it was a grandmother, maybe it was a mom, a dad, an uncle, an aunt, who had a positive impact on you. Maybe that person believed in you when nobody else did. Maybe that person told you God has got a plan for your life. Maybe that person taught you how to fish and how to hunt. Maybe that lady taught you how to sew and cook. They had a positive impact upon your life. And maybe you would have been in a much worse position today if it were not for that wonderful person. So if that person is still alive today, I encourage you on Thanksgiving Day to reach out to that person who had a great impact in your life. Write them a note, send them a text, call them on the phone and tell them, I appreciate you. Thank you for having such a good impact on my life. But most importantly, during this month of Thanksgiving and beyond, remember the manifold blessings of God upon your life and thank Him. All the good things that have come into your life, big and small, have come from the hand of God. If you were healed of a major disease, that blessing came from God. You got to thank Him. If God financially provided for you in a big way to pay off, say, a medical bill, that blessing came from the hand of God. The breath you just breathed, small, but that came from the hand of God. When you needed that bus ticket and you miraculously received the money for that bus ticket, that came from the hand of God. And never forget that. All good things, big and small, have come from the hand of God. So this Thanksgiving month, Thanksgiving Day and beyond, remember to give God thanks and gratitude for His manifold blessings upon your life. Is that good news here tonight? And do it every day, not just one day out of the year, not just on Thanksgiving Day. Do it every day of the year. When you wake up in the morning, say, God, I thank you for waking me up today. When you wake up and look at yourself in the mirror the morning after that, say, God, I thank you for giving me this shelter. And when you get up the morning after that, and after that, thank God that you've given me a square meal every night. When you go into your prayer closet to pray, it might be a short prayer, remember to give God thanks. Thank Him for something, because all good things that have come into your life have come from His hand. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to read you an illustration from the speaker's quote book that I've read before in past years, but it bears repeating tonight. And it's On Thanksgiving to God by, I think her name is Jessica Shaver. So let me read this real quick here. She writes, I'm a Christian, but sometimes I forget to thank God for the things that haven't happened. I'm grateful for the accidents I was not involved in, the illnesses that never developed, and the times I could have been mugged but wasn't. I'm thankful my house didn't burn down while I left the iron on for 5 hours. I'm thankful that when we left the garage door open all night, nothing was taken. Sometimes I forget to thank God for electricity, but this Thanksgiving, I'll make a point of it. I'm also thankful for indoor plumbing and aesthetics ever since my daughter nearly sheared her fingertip in the bathroom door. I'm thankful for every uneventful day. I'm thankful for my son's paraphrase of Psalm 100. Enter into his gates on Thanksgiving. I'm glad I have someone, God, to thank. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Remember God always and thank him. And so tonight we're going to turn to Luke chapter 17 and read from verses 11 through 19. And this is about only one who thanked Jesus. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, and this village probably bordered Galilee and Samaria, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Leprosy. Leprosy was a terrible and painful skin disease. 10 lepers met Jesus. And people who had leprosy were required to be secluded from the rest of society. They stood at a distance. The law required that those who had leprosy had to keep a distance between themselves and those who were healthy. And they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They were in pain. They said, "Jesus, this skin disease, this leprosy has ravished our bodies. Have pity on us. Have mercy on us. Have compassion on us." The Word of God says in Luke 17:14, "When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed." Just a note on verse 14. "When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.'" When he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest," at that very moment, they were not yet healed. But it's like he gave them an implied assurance. It's like they understood him to mean that as they went, they would be healed of their leprosy. So they took Jesus at his word, and they started taking steps of faith and going toward the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. And the point for us tonight is this, is that maybe God has promised you a miracle in your life. Maybe God has promised financial provision or reconciliation of a broken relationship or healing in your body. Take God at his word, knowing that you know deep down on the inside that as you start taking those steps of faith and going towards the priest, if you would, his miracle working power will become evident in your life. That's a whole message in itself, verse 14. And so verse 15, "One of them," one of the 10 lepers who was healed, "one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice." I could just imagine what he was saying. "God, I thank you. God, I glorify your holy name. God, my body was ravished with this terrible, painful skin disease, and you healed me. And God, today I say thank you. I glorify you. I praise you." He praised God in a loud voice. The scripture says in verse 15 of Luke 17, "He threw himself at Jesus' feet in humility, and he thanked him." He expressed his gratitude to Jesus for this awesome miracle in his life. And then Luke makes the point of saying this, "And he was a Samaritan." The Samaritans were looked down on by the Jews. The Jews considered them as good as heathens. The Samaritans were the unlikely ones. But this Samaritan that the Jews looked down upon turned around when he received his healing, went to Jesus, and expressed his thanks to Jesus. for this awesome miracle. In verse 17, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Jesus was what? He was disappointed that only one returned to give him thanks for the healing of leprosy. The 9 or the majority who were not grateful is indicative of the attitude of ingratitude prevalent in our society today. I don't want to be part of that majority that is ungrateful. I want to be part of that minority, like the one Samaritan who remembers the good things that God has brought into my life, and I want to express my gratitude to him. How about you here tonight? How many of you want to be like that Samaritan, the unlikely one, expressing your thanks, your appreciation, your gratefulness to God for the good things that he has brought into your life? I want to be part of that minority who has an attitude of gratitude. And you should want to be part of that minority as well. Amen?
Amen.
All right. He had an attitude of gratitude. He thanked Jesus. And even when times are tough, even when you go through trial, even when you go through persecution, you can thank God even in those times. Because guess what? He has got your back. He is not going to let you die. You may be going through a hard time. You may be going through a tough time right now. But I'm here to tell you tonight that you are safe in the palm of God's hand. And you can say, "God, I thank you. I'm going through persecution. I thank you that I'm going through trial right now. But I thank you that you are not going to let my boat tip. You are not going to let me drown. You have got my back. God, I thank you that you are faithful. And God will deliver you from that situation." Is that good news here tonight? Verse 19, what did Jesus say? He said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you whole. His attitude of gratitude was indicative of his faith in Jesus. It's like Jesus equated his attitude of gratitude with faith in him, in Jesus. Because he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you whole." He was made whole. He was physically healed. The leprosy left his body, but he also received spiritual healing. He became a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come." That leper, that Samaritan, that day received physical healing, but he also received spiritual healing. He was spiritually reborn. He was born again. He became a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So tonight, we've got to think about what God has done for us. You know, we have all dealt with spiritual leprosy, spiritual illness, spiritual death caused by sin. We at one time were under the stronghold of sin. At one time we were all bound for an eternity separated from God because of this ugly thing called sin. But God sent his son into this world over 2,000 years ago, born as a baby in Bethlehem, in a stable. He lived, he ministered, he went to a cross. He went to a cross so that by faith in him, the stronghold of sin could be broken over our lives. We were all bound for hell, But because Jesus gave his life and our faith in him, we have received the greatest gift in the universe. We have received the gift of eternal life. Is that good news here tonight? Every single one of us was bound for an eternity separated from God. But Jesus came and he gave his life so that we could receive eternal life by faith in him. And this gift of eternal life is the greatest gift in the world. This month, Thanksgiving Day and beyond, you need to be thanking God every single day. God, I thank you that you sent your Son over 2,000 years ago. God, I thank you that your Son died upon a cross on Calvary's Hill so that I could have eternal life, so that when I leave this body, I'll be in heaven with you forever one day. Is that good news here tonight? I can't imagine a moment separated from God, let alone an eternity. And tonight I say, thank you, God, for the gift of eternal life by the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, on that cross, and my faith in him. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Is that good news? Yeah. You know, John writes in his epistle in 1 John 5:12 that he who has the Son has life. Did you know that the day you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that the Zoe life of God became real in you? The day that you put faith in Jesus Christ, eternal life and at that moment began for you. And it will continue when you leave your body in heaven with God forever one day. He who has the Son has Zoe, has eternal life. When you accepted Jesus, eternal life began for you at that moment. That's good news, isn't it? And it will continue forever and ever and ever when you leave your body. Jesus gave his life so that we could have eternal life. Let me say it again. Jesus gave his life so that we could have eternal life by faith in him. Like the Samaritan, we can express our thanks by giving our lives in their entirety to Jesus, by submitting to his lordship over every part of our being. You know, the Samaritan, when he received his healing, expressed his gratitude to Jesus, his thanks to Jesus with his words, right? It said he fell at the feet of Jesus and he thanked him. We've received such a great gift, the greatest gift in the world, the gift of eternal life. Jesus gave his life, and the way we express our gratitude, our thanks to him, is with our life, with our actions, by submitting to his lordship, not only over one part of your life, but submitting to the lordship of Jesus over every part of your existence. The Samaritan thanked Jesus with his words. We can thank Jesus for the giving of his life with our actions, with our submitting to his lordship, submitting to his control over every part of our lives. And submitting to the lordship of Jesus, I want to make this note here tonight, submitting to the lordship of Jesus doesn't happen overnight. Submitting to the lordship of Jesus is a lifelong process. Billy Graham once said, becoming a Christian is the work of a moment, but being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to be a Christian, if you would. It takes a lifetime and beyond. It takes a lifetime. It takes many, many years. It's a process in making Jesus Lord over every part of your existence. You know, if your thought is, you know what, this is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with my life. Guess what? That is an attitude of ingratitude. Jesus gave his life for you. So you need to give your life in its entirety, every part of it, back to him. Submit it to his lordship. Surrender to the will of God for your life. Remember, if you're living with that mindset, this is my life. I do whatever I want with my life. If I want to show up to a church service, I can. If I want to read the Bible just every so often, I can do that. I don't need to pray that often. If that's your mindset, that mindset is an attitude of ingratitude. If you're sitting in the driver's seat of your life and you feel like, you know what, I've got control of my life, guess what? Guess what? If you want to make Jesus Lord of your life and express your gratitude to Him for giving His life to you, for you, you need to slide over to the passenger side and put Jesus behind the wheel of your life. You need to put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. Not in just one part of your life. You've got to make Jesus Lord, supreme in authority over every single part of your existence. There's probably a bunch of you here, maybe some of you here right now, that are working for an employer. And if that employer is paying you to work 8 hours a day, you're going to do what the employer asks you to do. Well, guess what? Jesus wants to be the big boss over your life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have a boss in the natural that you work for maybe 8 hours a day, maybe 3 days a week. Guess what? Jesus wants to be the big boss over every part of your life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And remember, submitting to His Lordship, making Him Lord over your life, is not instantaneous. It takes the process of a lifetime. Jesus wants to be in control of the thoughts that you think. Are you thinking like the world? When somebody offends you, are you thinking about revenge? Or are you thinking like Jesus, about forgiving your offender? With your body, are you doing what is holy with your body? Or are you living like the world with your body? You know, if you're submitting to the Lordship of Jesus, your body and what you do with your body, then you'll do what is holy with your body. Amen? You won't be abusing your body. You'll be doing what is righteous and holy with your body. And making Jesus Lord over every part of your life is not easy. The flesh fights against it. But in your weakness, He is strong. And you just say, God, I can't do this on my own. I want to surrender to your will, God. I want to submit to the Lordship of your Son, Jesus Christ. But it's tough for me to do it in my flesh. And I guarantee that if you pray that prayer to God, God will give you His Holy Spirit empowerment to start submitting every part of your life to the Lordship, to the control, to the authority of Jesus Christ. When you accepted Jesus and put faith in Him, He became your Savior. But He also wants to be your Lord. Is that making sense here tonight? In your conversation, are you speaking bad four-letter words like the world? Or are you speaking what is holy, righteous, and pure, just like Jesus spoke what was holy, righteous, and pure? If you're avoiding four-letter words and you're speaking what is good and you're taking a control of your mouth, then guess what? You're submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ with your words in your relationships. Who are you hanging around with? Are you hanging around with people that are tempting you to get drunk and to get high? Or are you separating yourself from that crowd and hanging out with people who are godly, serious Christ followers? If you are attempting to hang out with those who are godly and serious Christ followers, then you are submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your human relationships. And remember, God will give you His strength. You got to get into the Word of God. All right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as you get into the Word, the Word will wash you. The Word will renew your mind and your spirit. Is that making sense here tonight? Just pray to God and say, God, in my own flesh, I can't do this. I need your strength. And He'll give you His divine empowerment, Holy Spirit empowerment, to make His Son, Jesus Christ, Lord over every part of your life. Making Jesus Christ Lord over your life is your way of expressing gratitude to Jesus for giving His life over 2,000 years ago on that cross so that we could have eternal life by faith in Him. Amen?
Amen.
In your finances. It's in every area of your life. Are you using your finances for what is unholy, or are you using your finances for that which is good? If you're using your finances to help fund ministries and donate to charities, then you're doing what is holy with your finances. You are submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in that area of your life. Amen?
Amen.
So the Samaritan, when he received his physical healing, he thanked Jesus with his words. He fell at the feet of Jesus. Today, we thank Jesus for his life and the gift of eternal life, right? By making him Lord over every part of our being.